All right, I believe Matthew 27, verse 23. But the Bible says, and the governor said, why, what evil hath he done? But they cried out the more, saying, let him be crucified. So Pilate just got done saying in verse 22, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? And they're wanting him to be crucified. And the thing is, here's the governor saying, hey, he hasn't done any evil. He couldn't find anything. And you talking about the moral depravity that people can get into when they would just crucify an innocent man. Well, that hadn't changed. It hadn't been like people have gotten any better. Matter of fact, the Bible teaches degeneration. So they've gotten worse, and they want to crucify the Lord. You know, I like to think, if I had been there, I'd do different. But you know, if you analyze yourself, and the Bible says the heart is deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. Without salvation, and the Holy Spirit inside you to be able to yield to Him, control Him, we'd be right in there with them. Yeah. No, I want to keep doing my sin. I want to keep all it is they just wanted. They didn't want any change because they didn't want to lose their place in their nation and all that type of stuff. And they wanted him gone. And he called out their sins. And he said, you know, the Lord Jesus said, hey, they hate me because I'm light and I'm exposed in the darkness. And the darkness does not want to be exposed. And he was just exposing their evilness. Now, here's verse 24 says, when Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it. Now, here's Pilate. Now, I don't know if he's familiar with Deuteronomy 21, verses, you know, 6, or Psalms 26, verses 4 to 6. You know, I don't know if he was familiar with that. But either way, I read somewhere where the Romans had some kind of tradition where they could wash their hands of things, so to speak. But this is what I get out of this. God always expects a man to do right. No matter how difficult or what the personal cost might be in the court of public opinion. Now here's public opinion saying, hey, we believe this needs to be done right here, and we're not going, you know, you could stand to lose your job if you went with the Lord Jesus Christ, and no telling what kind of loss he could have had, or they could have revolted, could have been a tumult, you know, everybody would have had an uproar, whatever. God expects a man to do right. Yeah. People say, well, what about the consequences? Or I might get this, or this might happen, or that might happen if I follow the Lord on this matter. He expects you to do what's right. Sure. See, this is the thing that happens with people. They start weighing things out in their own mind. And God says, no, a false balance is abomination sight of God. You never have to weigh things out. That's what makes life so much easier. If you'll just go by the Bible and say, Lord, I want to yield to you. I don't want to yield this flesh. I don't have to sit here and go, well, if I do this, this thing's going to happen. If I do this other thing, the other thing's going to happen. I'm supposed to get in that Bible and study that Bible and say, Lord, I know you'll never contradict your word. What is my instructions for this? Show me what I'm supposed to do out of your word right here. That way I will know. I don't have to weigh it out and wonder. I know if I do what's right. Do you know? In Pilate's mind, he thinks, man, if I take this guy aside or whatever, no telling what I was going, don't he know God could have protected? Yeah. Look, God. See, our thoughts are so beneath His. We can't see a way out. God can make a way out. That's the trouble, man. A man's thinking there's no way out of this. There's no way out. God, who created the universe, can make a way. I know I talk about it a good bit. One thing that really a story in the Bible that really affected me. Once it dawned on me, Moses got to that sea and there was no human way out of it. Mm-hmm. Pharaoh was going to get him. Yeah. And God says, I'll make a way. Yeah. There's no way, so I'll have to make a way for you. Pilate's like so many men in this world. He saw, man, there's just, maybe I could release to him Barabbas, or, you know, he's got to be a way out of this. No, you're just going to trust God and let God make a way. You can't wash your hands of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's so many people in this world think that they can put him off and think things so well. I never heard a clear presentation, or I never knew, and all this stuff. The Bible says everybody's without excuse in Romans. You're not going to have an excuse. Either your conscience convicted you, or you looked out there and saw the universe, and the Bible says the heavens declare the glory of God. You're without excuse. No matter who you are, no matter where you are, you're going to have to deal with the Lord Jesus Christ. And you're supposed to do what's right no matter what. I think about the old pilot, man. This guy, he tries his best to get rid of the Lord Jesus and can't do it. Verse 25, then answered all the people and said, "His blood be on us and on our children." That's a terrible thing to say. I want to read a verse to you out of Acts chapter 5. Verse number 28, I'm going to read this verse to you. They said, "His blood be on us and our children." I'll give you some good practical application about this. Here in Acts chapter 5, it says, "And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, 'Did we not straitly command you that ye should not teach in his name? And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine, and intend to bring this man's blood upon us.'" No, they brought it on themselves. See, here's religionist right here. And they're saying, "Hey, we told you not to do this. You're trying to bring this man's blood on us." You know what religion does? Blames others. That's how you can tell if you're blaming somebody else for what you can and what you can't. You're blaming. Some people will blame God. Like the Calvinists will blame God. Hey, they don't have no choice in the matter. God's either going to do this or God's either going to do that. No, people got a free will. Or you get some people, even Christians, they're bad to blame the devil. "Well, the devil made me do so and so." No, the devil, are you blaming somebody else? Yeah. Look, you have a free will. You can't blame God and you can't blame the devil. The devil will tempt you, yes, and God will try you, yes. They'll do that. But the thing is you, everybody has their own choices in life. They bring a man, the way I was brought up, if you just knew how I was brought up, you got a choice. To let that, there's been all kind of people throughout the world have all kind of terrible upraising, turn out serving the Lord. There's been all kind of people in the world had the best upbringing there, what turned out to be some of the craziest nutcase you ever seen in your life. Amen. Why? You got a choice. You have a choice. And the thing you're seeing right here is these people want to blame somebody else. And I tell you something, they've had a hard time down through the ages. They've had a hard time. Why? They're still blaming people. Instead of receiving Jesus Christ, guess what they'll do? They'll choose a Barabbas. You know what they're going to do? Watch verse 26. See, their history is just going to repeat. Verse 26. "Then released he Barabbas unto them, and when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified." Now, they took a murderer and a thief and a robber. Now, you know what they're going to do one of these days? The church is going to be called out here in what we call the rapture of the church, catching away, whatever they want to call it. And we're going to be up with the Lord at the judgment seat of Christ. You know what's going to be going on down here? The great tribulation. And they're going to receive a Barabbas. They're going to receive the Antichrist. Amen. And I tell you something, man. You talking about his blood be on us. They think they had a hard time then. Mm-hmm. They better be receiving Jesus Christ, the Messiah. Now, with this thing right here, he scourged Jesus. The Bible talks about this in Isaiah 53 and talks about how his back was plowed through the prophets and stuff like that. I read some stuff on how bad these scourgings was. Now, we know the Jews, you're not supposed to receive over 40 stripes. But with the Romans, they didn't have that law. And they had this, I forget what they called it, but they had this thing out here in the middle of this hall, and they would strap them to that thing. And buddy, you're talking about whipping. That thing had metal shards in it and everything else. And the fact that the Lord took that beating, and you think about that, y'all, I'm telling you something, man. Getting whipped with something hurts. Yeah. I mean, I'm gonna tell you. Have you ever been hit with it like an extension cord or something like that across your back or something? It hurts. Now, I ain't going to tell you how. You say, how did that happen? Look, I've got brothers and stuff. I've been hit with all kind of stuff. But look, he got literally beat with that thing. They plowed through his back. And you know, here's the humbling thing about it. He had us on his mind. Yeah. That's God.
Hey. Yeah.
Man, if that don't humble somebody to think about that, man, that our Savior took that. And that's just the start. That's just a start. Now, this one reason why Pilate was so impressed with the Lord Jesus Christ. Most people were begging for their lives and stuff like that. The Lord Jesus Christ get up there and started asking him questions. And here the Lord says, you wouldn't have any power unless it's given you above. Mm-hmm. He said, now, where are you from? Where are you? Look, he's otherworldly. Look, the Lord Jesus Christ was a man's man. He is a man. He was and is to come. I better make sure my terminology is correct. Hey. He takes this scourging right here. Woo-wee. It's rough. Bible says, then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers, and they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe. Now, some people say, well, there's contradiction in the Bible. One says purple robe, one says scarlet robe. It's probably a robe that had purple and scarlet on it. But I've had people that's had on a yellow shirt that was predominantly yellow, and it maybe had like some black in it or something. They said, man, old guy coming here with a yellow shirt on. We use the same terminology. You just got to give the Bible liberty. It's descriptive. But there's a reason why it was purple, and there was a reason why it had scarlet. Royalty was dying for your sins.
Hey. Yes.
That's all it is. People just, yes. I tell you, man, they won't give the Bible a benefit of the doubt. You studied a little bit. Every single thing in there is in there for a reason. Mm-hmm. Scarlet, run it back to Isaiah chapter number 1. Yeah. Deity, royalty, purple royalty. The Lord Jesus Christ, the rightful king, the rightful royalty, scarlet, dying for your sins. Yeah. I tell you, man, thank God that you can believe the Bible.
Thanks.
Just read it and believe it.
Yeah.
I'm like, I heard Lester Roloff say one time, the Bible don't need to be rewritten, just reread.
That's right.
And believed.
Yeah.
And believe it. Verse 29, and when they had platted a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head and a reed in his right hand, and they bowed the knee before him and mocking him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews. I want to read this verse. I think I've kind of forgotten where it's at. It's amazing. Yeah, here it is. Romans 14:11 says, For it is written, As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess. They don't realize they were just practicing what they're going to be doing one of these days.
Right.
Let me tell you something. When that Bible says every knee will bow, they did it mockingly. But I'm going to tell you something. The Bible says every knee will bow to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. One of these days, every knee will bow. I'd rather just do it of my own free will. I'd just do it now and say, Lord, I bow to you. I just want to let you know I believe every word you say. Lord, thank you, Lord Jesus, for salvation. Just praise his holy name. But all these people won't bow. They'll bow one of these days. All these people trying to make other people bow to anything else other than the Lord, they'll bow one of these days the right way.
Yeah.
All these people bowing to Muhammad and stuff like that and get over here on their prayer. You'll bow one of these days the right way. These people right here, they will bow one of these days. Hail, King of the Jews. Five words, death.
Yeah. Yeah.
Death on them, I can tell you. Oh, wow. You die without Christ, that's the real death.
Yeah.
And man, I tell you something. That mocking the Lord, people mock the Lord now. I had another verse I was wanting to give you, but I guess I didn't write it in my margin. But I'm going to tell you something. Verse 30 says, And they spit upon him and took the reed and smote him on the head. just knocking that crown of thorns down on his head even further with that reed. Brother, I'm going to tell you something. When I read this right here, like especially when you read it by yourself, it's all you can do to keep from choking up when you think about the fact. When I think about that, I think to myself, there's an innocent child, and you look at a little, the most innocent child you could look at, and think about somebody whipping that innocent child and taking a crown of thorns, putting it on that child's head, knocking it down, blood going everywhere, beating him, spitting on him. That's not as bad as it was the innocent Son of God who never sinned. He wasn't a sinner. God, holy. So holy that seraphim up there going, holy, holy, holy. And they do this right, and he did it for you and for me. Brother, what a God, what a Savior. I can't brag on him enough. I literally don't have the breath to brag on the Lord enough for doing all that for me and for you, for dying for our sin. You see, when you read this right here, look, he could, at any moment, he could exercise his deity and got up and said, let me tell you something, every one of you. I'm going to make you dust, and I'm going to make you be a live dust particle, and people step on you for the rest of your life. See how you like that?
Yeah.
But he didn't. I mean, look, in my mind, I could invent ways of torture, but not being God, I couldn't think of anything like he could. But he didn't. He exercised extreme restraint. I thank God for that. The Bible said, and as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. Him they compelled to bear his cross. Now, when I think about that, I think this changed this man. I honestly think, from what I can tell, that in the Bible, in Romans chapter number 16, and verse number 13, where it says, salute Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother and mine, because there's a verse over there that says, I think it's in the Gospel of Mark, that said that Rufus was Simon's son. I believe this changed this man. I believe his son grew up and served the Lord because he believed on Jesus Christ. I believe it changed him. He seen something about Jesus Christ. He said, look here, this man, right? Because Simon couldn't carry it. The Gospel of John shows you he only carried it so far, and then Jesus had to finish it, showing you that man can't carry the cross of Christ.
Yeah.
I tell you something, after he took a beating, weird, no telling how much blood loss and everything else, he was the man. When Pilate said, I know that man, I tell you, that stuff like that'll change you. You can't get over it. So why do you keep mentioning stuff like that? I'm going to tell you something, because once you realize that and it dawns on you what was dawning on them, it'll change you.
Yeah.
Behold the man. The Bible calls him the man, Christ Jesus. People say toxic masculinity. You better thank God for some men.
Hey.
Man, yeah, I tell you what, if a war is fought, do you want some effeminate fight in a war for you? You want a man's man out there fighting. You know who fought the battle that we couldn't fight? You know who slew the adversary? A man's man. A manly man.
Yeah.
Not some little old sissy.
Yeah.
A man. I'll tell you something. You reading about the man right here.
Hey.
I love this thing. I'm telling you something. The Savior. Man, you talking about a soldier. Look, he wouldn't make you do anything he hadn't already done himself. That's a great leader. Bible says, and when they were coming to a place called Golgotha, that is to say a place of a skull. That one word was translated or interpreted into five words. Golgotha, skull, death. There's you another five words again. But what I'm saying is people say, well, you can't have no perfect interpretation. And the Bible, the English Bible got different letters and words in the Hebrew. All through the Bible, when you get an interpretation, one word, like Golgotha, can be five words, and it's the same thing. Perfectly translated, perfectly interpreted. I don't need Hebrew and Greek. I got the English. It says what it says in my language to me. Why? Because God's able to perfectly get it over from one language to other. Thank God for stuff like this. It's all in here. You can't get past it. You can't get past it. Can't get past it. Now here's another one. Verse 34, they gave him vinegar to drink, mingled with gall, and when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. Now some people don't even read the gospel. They say, well, even the Lord took wine or the word just escaped me. But anyway, that gall had something, the dead and the pain. It says he would not drink it. Now later on in a different gospel, it said that it went right before he gave up the ghost, they put vinegar in his mouth, but it didn't have any gall in it. See the difference? The vinegar, that's a rough thing. That's when you really hate somebody. He's about to die and you put vinegar in his mouth. I tell you something, I drank that, what's that vinegar I drink called? Apple cider vinegar. I drank that stuff. I'm going to tell you something, it's not the best tasting stuff in the world. So you got to be bad sorry to put somebody who's about to die and thirsty vinegar in the mouth. But it didn't have any gall. And so you get all this. Reading the Bible verse by verse will correct all kinds of false doctrine. All we're doing is going down through here reading the text and letting the text say what the text says. Verse 35, and they crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots that it might be fulfilled. See, prophecy is being fulfilled here. He's fulfilling all kinds of prophecies, which was spoken by the prophet. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. That's an Old Testament prophet or prophecy. Psalm 22, verse number 18. Now I tell you something. We're getting into some real interesting stuff right here. Verse 36. There's a popular sermon out there, and I forget the name of it, so I guess I can't say what it is. But verse 36 says, "And sitting down, they watched him there." You know what you're going to find out? Just being interested in the Lord isn't enough.
Yeah.
You're going to have an attitude change. Now, I think it's... I didn't have time to look over my verses very much this morning. I believe it's Mark 15:39. The Bible said, "And when the centurion which stood over against him saw that he so cried out and gave up the ghost, he said, truly this man was the Son of God." Look, there were some people just sitting around watching, just observing. This, well, that's kind of interesting. That's not enough. Look, there's all kind of people that just sit around and watch things that goes on. I don't know what it is about working, especially when you do something, some kind of work like mechanics. You ever notice people just want to kind of stand around and watch what they're doing?
Yeah.
I don't know what it is, but like when I'm down there, I'll be working with that metal and stuff, and I'll be down there sanding down some wheels and stuff. For some reason, I have to tell people kind of step back. If somebody pulls up on the lot, maybe they're parking a truck or something, they want to step back here and... You know what I'm saying? Just standing over there, they don't mean nothing by it. But what I'm trying to illustrate, a lot of people like to just stand around and watch. Mm-hmm. Whenever it deals with Jesus Christ, just sitting around, just being, I'm just watching, that's not going to cut it. There's going to be a lot of people go to hell from church pews. Why? They just sit around, they just watched. They never trusted. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ will freely give salvation. But you got to do what the other guy did. The centurion actually believed something about and did something with what he saw. A lot of people today, all they want to do is just sit around and watch the world go by. Just sit in their house. What are you doing? Well, it'd be different if you can't get out. I understand. I got this one lady I pray for. She's in a wheelchair. She can't get out. She can't do nothing, but she can pray. And she tries to, you know, call people. She writes letters and writes cards and stuff like that. She gets a lot done for the Lord for what she can do. But there's all kind of people that can get out.
Yeah.
They just sit in.
Yeah.
What are you doing? What are you doing today? I'm just sitting in the house, sitting around. You know what you're doing? Sitting around watching. That's a sad case. Well, all these people, don't tell how many people sat down and watched the Savior die on the cross. No avail. Just sitting around wasting time. People say, well, you kill time. Well, it'll kill you. I'm telling you, one of the last things, I hope that our family and I hope our church family don't just sit around and watch the world go by. You know what people are doing today? Now look, we've all got entertainment. I got a television at my house. But so many people let that thing run their life, and they sit in front of that thing, and it just drains them. Never getting nothing done.
Yeah.
Just sit around there and make a zombie out of you, man. Suck the soul out of you. I'm telling you, I've got a picture somebody sent me of a family sitting in front of the television, and they're it's kind of a weird picture, but their souls are going out of them, going into that television. Well, they're pouring their life into that TV instead of into God. You know what people are doing? They're just sitting around watching other people do stuff for the Lord and do stuff for the Lord and do stuff for them, and sitting around watching this and do that instead of getting out and living a life for themselves. A lot of people get out here and they can watch all these action movies and stuff like that. Get out there and do a little action yourself.
Yeah.
You know, we watch cooking shows. We like to watch cooking shows and stuff. We watch these people cook. Well, guess what? We need to get in there and do some things ourselves. Now, I know I'm not a good cook. Carla wishes I was. But what I'm saying is, when I read that verse, there's a lot in that verse just showing you not to just sit around and take. Look, the Lord's dying for the sins of the world. They're just sitting there watching this great event, just sitting around watching it. And I tell you what half the world's doing, more than half the world, just sitting around watching the world go by. Sitting around watching as the world burns, and people love Oprah Winfrey. And not so many like Ellen DeGeneres these days, I don't think. But what I'm telling you is these people sit around and watch these degenerates on TV and wonder why they act so degenerate. It's because that stuff's pouring into them and they're not doing anything about it. You need to pour the Bible in. Pour the Lord in. Verse 37 says, "And set up over his head his accusation written, 'This is Jesus, the King of the Jews.'" Now, we know from other aspects of the Gospels that it was written in three languages, Hebrew, Latin, and Greek. Now, again, if you ever want to tell somebody, you tell them, "Well, I believe I got a perfect translation." How come? Give them this right here. The same thing Pilate wrote was written in three languages, but it said the same thing. Now, people say, "Well, one of them says it says one thing, one of them says another." You put them all together and it says what all it says. It was more than just each gospel account's given one of the thing. Like, the reason Matthew, the book of Matthew, emphasizes this part of what was written, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." The book is, Matthew's gospel is about him being the King of the Jews, and he was rejected. That's why he put that in there. Each one has got a specific thing that, but it said you put it all together. And I should have written it down, but I went through the Gospels. You can put all the Gospels and you put it together, and it shows you. I think it says something like, "This is Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews," or something like that. But all that was on there. And look, watch this. Then were there two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand and another on the left. And the Bible says, "And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads." That's exactly what it said was going to happen in Psalm 22. Yeah. Fulfilling Scripture. You know what is so amazing right here? All that was going on, and people just didn't even realize what was going on. You know why? Because most of them weren't even reading their Bibles. And a lot of them that weren't paying attention. Like the Sadducees and Pharisees, they had all those verses. They had Psalm 22. Going by wagging it, not even realizing, "Hey, this is going on." What's hard? We've got all this stuff. Paul wrote all these letters of these churches. And we've got all this stuff that Paul talks about that's going to go on and what we're supposed to do in this time that we're in right now. And people don't even have a clue. Just like back then, just like in their time, they didn't have a clue. You know, we don't have to be like that, though. We can say, "Hey, I know I've got the Bible. I know I've got my instructions. I'm going to do what my instructions say," and realize now is a time to wait, Romans says. Isn't that why now is our salvation nearer than when we believe? It's an exciting time to live, man. What a exciting time. We'll close out with that.